Not all sparkling wine is champagne, and in fact, there are different types of sparkling wine, made using various methods. One of the very few wines made in all varieties of sparkling is Lambrusco. Today, Alessandro Medici of Medici Ermete Winery in Emilia-Romagna will explain every type of sparkling wine and how each is made. And among other things, you'll learn why some cost so much more than others. Let's go. This is the Inside Wine Podcast. I'm Joe Janisch, a certified specialist of wine and wine industry professional since 1996, giving you insider tips to make the right wine decisions. So today our guest is Alessandro Medici. He is the fifth generation winemaker at Medici Ermete in the Emilia-Romagna, where they make some beautiful wines, including one that I love called Lambrusco. We've had Alessandro on before. We should go back and, if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to that podcast all about Lambrusco. Today, I'm going to talk to him about sparkling wine because it turns out Alessandro makes every type of sparkling wine there is. So, Alessandro, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me again. It's a wonderful pleasure to be back.
Oh, absolutely. I'll have you on every week if we could do it.
Thank you, Joe. How are you?
I'm good. Well, it's always fun. It's always a fun conversation. So, probably most people don't realize that Lambrusco, as with other wines, Lambrusco is actually made, can be made in all kinds of different sparkling variations. So why don't we like walk through all the different types? I guess the first type is the tank method, also called the Charmat method. What's the Italian word for Charmat?
It's Martinotti.
Martinotti. Where did that term come from?
It's come from the surname of the inventor of the method. That was an Italian guy. Exactly like Charmat was the surname of the guy that invented that method in France.
So. In France. That's why we keep hearing Charmat, because it was a French guy.
Exactly.
Why? Exactly. The Italians never get the respect, ever.
I know. I'm so sorry about that. Even Italians now call that the Charmat method.
No respect.
No.
So, okay. So, let's talk about the Charmat / Martinotti / tank
so,
method.
So, first of all, just one second. Coming back to the first podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
To the first episode that we had together.
Yes.
Lambrusco is a grape.
Yes.
Okay. And it's a family of different, literally, the right name is biotypes.
Biotypes.
So, we can say like varieties to make it easier.
Great.
With Lambrusco grapes and all the varieties of Lambrusco, we can make the Lambrusco wine. How? Using three different methods, as you said before. The first method that you just asked me is the Charmat or Martinotti method. So basically the wine is fermented in a still tank.
Okay.
So it's basically, to make it easier, the same method of production of Prosecco. So the 98-99% of the production of Lambrusco is made using this method. So okay. Charmat. We can, usually the fermentation, if we talk about the dry Lambrusco, can last between 1 month to even 6-7 months. For example, like our flagship wine Concerto is fermented for over 6 months.
Wow.
Where we can get these gently and elegant bubbles. So usually the producer does like a still and a dry wine for the first fermentation, and then adding the, let's call it like yeast, usually selected yeast for the Charmat method. We try to do the second fermentation always in the still tank, and basically we get a sparkling wine. And usually with the still tank, we can get a frizzante wine that it doesn't have a specific translation in English.
Okay.
Could be like slightly sparkling. When we talk about a frizzante wine, we usually have inside pressure in the bottle that is usually around 2.5 bars atmospheres.
Okay.
That is different from the spumante, that is usually the classification for the Metodo Classico, for the Champenoise method, where the inside pressure in the bottle is over 3.5. So this method, the Charmat method, is perfect to make a very fresh, fruity Lambrusco, because the tank usually preserve perfectly all the aromatic or organoleptic characteristics of the varieties of Lambrusco. So if you think, for example, like our flagship wine called Concerto, as I said before, we will have a very fruity wine with this beautiful, gently and elegant perlage with a pressure that is around 2.5. So it's a frizzante, as I just said. And this is the most common method of production of Lambrusco grape.
Okay. And bars is something I've heard before, but I've never quite been able to understand. So do you know how to do the bars toward pounds per square inch? That's what we know in the United States.
I think you call it like atmospheres also.
Yeah.
So it's basically the same. We just call them bars. It's the internal pressure. Like, for example, when you describe a champagne,
yeah,
how is the internal pressure inside, for example?
It's 100, I think.
Okay, no, so it's a different system.
Yeah.
So I cannot do the...
Well, we're dumb Americans. That's, you know, we use all the different measurements. But that's why I'm curious. So what would be the bars for a champagne?
It's 6.
Okay. All right. So now I got that. Okay.
Perfect. So it's basically the double.
Got it.
Of
thank you.
Of exactly. Yes.
All right. Great. We have the different levels of the bars with the frizzante. And there's also a tax, right? Depending on when you get to a certain amount of atmospheres, there's another tax.
Yes. There is another tax on the spumante wines that is, of course, higher than the frizzante. The frizzante tax. It also depends from states to states, of course. But there is a tax, actually, unfortunately, all over the world. Like in Germany, it's probably the highest tax. It's crazy because it's Europe. So it should be easier for us to export in that country. But we pay €1 tax for every single bottle of spumante wine.
Because it's more sparkling, so it has to get taxed for some reason.
But exactly.
So there's a bit of an incentive to stay under that.
Yes, yes. I mean... The wines are different, you know. Later we will talk about the Champenoise.
Sure.
The Champenoise with the fermentation in the bottle has a totally different aromatic and organoleptic profile. So we're talking about two different wines completely. And it's beautiful because, I mean, many people think that Lambrusco is just a very easy wine. Instead, I mean, it's very easy to drink.
Sure.
And that's a positive selling point, in my opinion. But the Lambrusco grape, the Lambrusco word, is an extremely, let me say, complicated word. But in a good sense, no? The complexity of the Lambrusco is extremely positive. And that's why we have different varieties and different methods to produce Lambrusco.
Got it. And you talked also, and thank you for reminding me, doing the refresher with the Lambrusco grape. There's different strains. There's 4 or 5 that you usually work with?
So 100 years ago,
yes,
we had more than 50
wow.
biotypes or varieties of Lambrusco.
Okay.
You know, in Italy, we love the complicated.
Yes, you do.
Thanks God, the farmers decided just to develop around 10 varieties. But the 4 most known varieties are Lambrusco di Sorbara. That is the most elegant variety. Sorbara doesn't have a full body structure, but very high acidity.
Okay.
Then at the opposite, we have Graspa Rossa. Very tannic, low acidity. In the middle, we have Marani, that is very similar to the Sorbara. And Salamino, that is the variety of our Concerto, that is the most balanced variety in the Lambrusco family. So, different organoleptic characteristics, different soils where they are cultivated. So we can talk about proper terroirs for every single variety. But one common characteristic, the drinkability and the fact that Lambrusco varieties, with all the differences, are always a very gastronomic, you know, and versatile wine that is Lambrusco.
Got it. Okay. All right. So I think we've laid the foundation.
Yes.
So maybe we could... Do you want to now start talking about the tank / Martinotti method? Yeah.
So the tank method, as I explained also before quickly, is the most common method in the Lambrusco.
Prosecco does that. And
Prosecco does
Cava.
That. Cava is more Champenoise.
Oh, it is.
But
okay.
It's a short Champenoise, like few months.
Okay.
So very quickly. In Italy, we have Prosecco, Lambrusco, and Moscato that are made with Charma method.
Okay.
And they are fermented in the tank. Okay, so the tanks can be very small or very, very huge if we are talking about very industrial products. Tank is very useful because in few months you can get the perfect and very fresh wine. So in our land, we started to buy then to receive the tanks around 1955, 1960. Medici Ormete, our winery, was one of the first wineries that introduced the steel tank in Italy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like my grandfather, that was, you know, a very innovative guy. So when he discovered this method, he decided to, we have to start to do Lambrusco also with using a steel tank and with the Charma method, because he thought that was very safe. Because until that moment, all the producers were used to produce Lambrusco using the ancestral, the pendant method.
Right.
So fermenting the Lambrusco in the bottle And at the end of the fermentation, when the wine became totally dry, we didn't remove the yeast from the bottle. Oh. So the ancestral is called ancestral, that in Italian means old.
Right.
Right, because that was the first method of production.
Hmm.
Then few producers, when understood the potential of the tank and they understood how smart was making a Lambrusco using the tank, they decided to stop making ancestral method and they started to do just still tank method.
Okay.
So Charmat.
Charmat.
Then just in the last period, producers are starting to coming back to the origin and to try to do again the Petnat or the ancestral method. So we can say that now the still tank method, so the Charmat method, is the most common because it's easier.
Sure.
Very safe in terms of internal pressure. It can preserve perfectly all the characteristics that are from the grape. That's mm-hmm. very important. And it's fast. It's quick.
It's fast. Okay.
In 1 month, you could have the final product. Then if you decide to do a high quality Charmat method, you can keep the fermentation longer as our concerto for 6 months, but it's fast.
Okay.
Okay. So it's perfect for a winery and it's extremely safe and extremely smart. Let's call it this.
Yeah. And it sounds like you can be a lot more precise and have more control over the final product because there's nothing left to the imagination of nature.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this is helpful because most people probably don't really understand why a champagne or a champagne method wine costs so much more. So part of it is that Charmat method is quicker. So when you can make things quicker, generally the price is going to be less.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like it's a simpler process and a little, so that's part of the reason why Prosecco is a lot less money than say a champagne.
Champagne, for example. Absolutely. You're right. Like if you want, I can explain the champagne was. So
yeah, please.
We can see the differences in terms of price.
That'd be great.
So we said that the Charmat, it's very quick
right.
because we do this fermentation in the tank where the yeast literally eat the sugars that are in the must
right.
with the added yeast that usually are selected yeast. And in few weeks, months, let's say, you have the final product.
Okay.
For the Champenoise, you have to do a first fermentation in a tank where you transform the grape juice, so the must, in a still and dry wine.
So you're making wine first?
First, exactly.
Right. Okay.
And this fermentation usually lasts a few weeks. Okay?
Okay.
So we can say that can last also 1 month. So you get a still and totally dry with 0 grams of sugar wine. After that, what you have to add is called in France, because you know in the wine business we just use
everything is French.
It's French, unfortunately. The liqueur de tirage. So basically we add sugars and yeast to the wine.
Okay.
We add a good percentage of this liqueur de tirage and we add to the wine and we put the wine with the liqueur de tirage in the bottle where we will have the second fermentation. What does it happen in the second fermentation? We are basically making from a still and dry wine a sparkling wine. So we are creating the CO2 in the bottle, directly in the bottle. This process lasts for the Italian wines, if you want to call it Metodo Classico, so Champenoise method, at least 1 year.
1 year?
12 months.
Hold on, back up for a second. How do you get the sugar, the liqueur de tirage, how do you get that into the bottle?
So basically, it's while you bottle the wine mm-hmm. for the second fermentation, you are allowed to add a percentage that you have to calculate perfectly of the liqueur de tirage.
Okay.
I try to make it easier because it's very technical.
Yeah, right.
But to develop one atmosphere, we told before about the internal pressure.
Sure.
We need 6 grams of liter of sugar.
Okay.
At the end of the fermentation, we want to achieve 6 atmospheres.
Got it.
Okay.
Yep.
So 6 atmospheres, we need 24 grams of liter of sugars. Why? Because we said that every 4 grams of liter of sugar, we develop 1 atmosphere. 1 bar.
Okay.
So 4 per 6, that is the final atmosphere that we want to achieve, is 24 grams of liter of sugar that we have to add in the liqueur de tirage.
Okay.
So producers, if they want to make a Champenoise method, they have to add to the still and dry wine exactly 24 grams of liter of sugar. Okay.
Got it.
This is very important because then what happened in the bottle? The yeast that are in the liqueur de tirage, they literally eat the sugars, the 24 grams of liter sugar, and they develop exactly 6 atmospheres inside of the bottle that will be the final pressure of the wine made using champenoise or champagne method.
Got it.
And in the Lambrusco land, we can do this. It's a very small percentage of the production, but is what is now considered extremely cool and fancy, especially in the Italian market.
Yeah.
You can easily find Lambrusco made with champenoise method, usually a rosé, in a very good fine dining restaurant list, at the by the glass in a very nice Michelin star restaurants in Milan, in Bologna, in Turin, in Rome. And it's becoming very, very popular. Why? Because you have to know, and just few people know this, but that Lambrusco is probably the only grape variety in Italy that in every single vintage has the same pH acidity of the Champagne area.
Oh.
So it was perfectly to make a champenoise method.
Huh.
That's one of, in my opinion, a big selling point. And one of our champenoise method called Unique, 33 months of second fermentation in the bottle, rosé, made using a Lambrusco variety, is just landing in the US.
Wow. Yes. All right. That's awesome. What is it called?
It's called Unique.
Unique?
Yes.
Because it's unique?
Because it's pretty unique. Because when we started to make this wine, we were one of the few Lambrusco producers using this method.
Okay.
Champenoise. And we think that it's an extremely unique wine because you have the characteristics of Lambrusco. So it's an extremely versatile and gastronomic wine, but in the same time, you will find the elegance and this amazing perlage and acidity typical of the champenoise methods.
Okay. It's fully sparkling, just like a champagne.
Exactly.
All right. Did we skip a step when we were talking about the traditional method? So you put the liquor de tirage in there.
Yes.
Isn't there a point where something has to come out and you add sugar or something, or that was already done?
No. You're right. So you add the liqueur de tirage and you start the second fermentation in the bottle.
Yep.
As I said before, in Italy, we have to do at least 12 months of second fermentation in the bottle.
Okay.
Then what happened? When the producer decide that the fermentation is completely over after 20, 24, some producers do also 10 years of second fermentation
in
the bottle. It can last also forever if a producer decide to make a very particular wine, you know.
Yeah.
But after that moment, we have to consider that this bottle is actually in an horizontal position, closed with a crown cap with the yeast inside. So when the producer decides to release the wine, there is a technical process called degorgement. What is the degorgement? It's the moment when the producers decide to remove the yeast from the bottle, so to clear the wine. That is a very important moment, and it can last for a few weeks because from the horizontal position, that is, the classic position of the bottle during the fermentation.
It's laying down, yeah.
Exactly. So the producer must bring all the yeast inside of the bottle to the crown cap. Why? Because it's important that all the yeast, all the sediments that are in the bottle are attached to the crown cap.
Oh, okay. So they all go back up to the cap.
Exactly.
And the crown cap, for the listener doesn't know what we're talking about, it's like on a beer bottle that you have to like flip off with the
same.
Battle cup.
The same.
Yeah, okay.
What the producer do during the degorgement process is basically to freeze the crown cap.
Okay.
And to remove the crown cap with inside all the sediments and all the yeast.
That all comes out with the cap.
They all comes out with the cap. And at that point, the wine will be totally dry. Why? Because all the yeast have eaten all the sugars that were inside of the bottle. So the producer can decide of champagne, the producer of champagne or the producer of Lambrusco in this case, can decide to let the wine completely dry. So usually it's called nature or padosé for the Italian wines.
Okay.
Or to add a level of the sugar. If the producer decide to add a level of the sugar, the producer will add what is called liqueur d'espédition.
Okay.
Usually this is a private recipe for every single producer.
Okay.
So the producer will add a small amount of the wine with inside a specific level of the sugar.
Okay.
So just in that moment, the producer of Champagne Method will add the sugar to the wine. And the wine can become an extra brut with a very small amount of sugar, a brut with a little bit higher level of the sugar, or a demi-sec, for example, if you want a higher level of the sugar. In France and in Italy, we have different regulations, so it can become a little bit difficult for the consumers to understand.
Sure.
But what is important to know is that the producer decides in that moment exactly how to make the dosage in terms of the sugar. At that moment, after the producer added the sugar with the liqueur d'espédition, the producer will close the bottle with the classic mushroom cork that we are used to opening a bottle of champagne, sure, or in our case, of Lambrusco.
Okay. So the thing that's always fascinated me is how that whole process, and again, another French word, dégorgement, right?
Exactly.
How do you take the cap off, put the sugar in,
yes,
put the cork, how do you do all that before all the bubbles go out?
So it's a very hard to explain in a podcast. It is not a video podcast.
Okay.
So nowadays we are lucky because there are machines that are basically taking care of the whole process.
Okay.
So it's not handmade anymore like it was like 50 years ago. Okay. So thanks God there is this machine that is closed, actually, that takes care of the dégorgement, adding the liqueur d'espédition, and then immediately close with the mushroom cork. So it happens in like 5 seconds.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
all right,
let's say 10 seconds, 15 seconds maximum. So it's very, very quick. It depends also from the technology that you have in the cellar, but it's extremely safe nowadays.
Sure.
And what is beautiful is that with that particular machine, you can add exactly the right amount of liqueur d'espédition. So adding the exact and right amount of sugar, because in the past producers were used to make it, you know, like handmade. So
yeah,
it was a little bit harder.
Inconsistent, probably, from bottle to bottle.
Exactly. You know, the consistency, especially if we talk about the Champenoise method, it's very important. So we must do, as wine producers, consistency year after year, vintage after vintage, but also in the same vintage, you know.
Sure.
All the bottles should be more or less the same. That's very important also,
yeah,
to respect the consumers that are buying our wines.
So yeah, there is some romance to making wine by hand and manually, but at the end of the day, machines are kind of helpful in making sure that every bottle tastes the same.
Absolutely. And when we talk about technology, we're not talking about chemistry. It's a totally different stuff. I am pro technology because technology helps the work of the man, and sometimes machineries and technology are better than man itself. So something is the technology,
mm-hmm,
that help a natural process. Another point is chemistry. So adding things that are not natural. You know, people sometimes are confused about the difference of technology and chemistry. These two are completely different. Chemistry make industrial wines. Technology helps the producer to preserve the work that the producer have done in the vineyards.
Okay.
So technology help us to preserve the organoleptic characteristics of the grape that we just got from the vineyards.
Okay.
This is very important.
Yeah. So difference between technology and chemistry.
Absolutely. And I explained you the Champenoise method, and you can easily understand how harder and longer is than a Charmat method that we explained before.
Yeah.
So coming back to your point, the difference in terms of price is basically explained with the time and with all the processes that for a Champenoise method, I mean, we need to do, and we need to take care for several months and years sometime.
And, you know, the irony is that it takes more time, takes more resources, takes more money to make the Champagne method, and then they put a tax on it on top of it.
Yes. So we have two, not problems, but two more points that help to make this wine more expensive. I don't know if it's going to help, but it's just...
All right. So let's really quickly. So you mentioned the new wine, Unique. How long does that ferment, and how long do you do the dégorgement and all that whole?
Yes. It's 33 months of second fermentation in the bottle.
Wow.
So we are talking about something very unique.
Almost 3 years.
Almost 3 years.
Wow.
Exactly. So the wine that is coming in the US soon will be 2021 vintage.
Wow.
So we can actually taste a wine, a Lambrusco, that was produced like 3 years ago. And this is another key of interpretation or of reading the Lambrusco. You know, it's not just an easy fresh wine that you have to consume and drink in the same vintage of production, but it's something that we can age as well. And you will see it's completely fresh in this moment. Hmm. So don't ask me the aging potential because we have to
see.
We
don't know. Yeah,
we don't know. But we are pretty confident because this is not the first vintage that we make with a unique wine with the Champenoise method. So we are pretty confident that due to the very low pH, so the high acidity, and due to the method, we can drink this wine also in the next years. And wow, this is beautiful for Lambrusco.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So is it brut?
It's brut. The dosage is around 5 grams of liter. Oh, so it's very dry.
It's dry, yeah.
It's very dry. And also you have to consider the acidity. As I said, it's very, very high.
Right.
Similar in every single vintage to the champagne.
This, yeah, it sounds very similar to a brut champagne.
Yes.
So brut champagnes, a lot of them don't come out for 10 years. Will you be working on one that maybe you'll release in 10 years?
Let's see.
Okay.
We have several projects in our mind to make also like a reserva of this wine. It would be beautiful. We are launching this wine all over the world. So before, we want to explain to the consumers that Lambrusco can be produced also with the Champenoise method. Then we will do many experiments, you know, especially for wine lovers that want to try something different, where we will try to keep the second fermentation even longer. Absolutely. Yeah.
We're going to have to educate the consumer. This is going to be an interesting and fun thing.
Yes. Before you ask me about what are you doing in your job, you know, are you just eating and drinking all the time, or you're doing something? I mean, education is probably the biggest part of my job, because to the, all the listeners in this moment, you should listen to the first episode that we released a few, I don't remember, months or years, year ago. But in that episode, we explain about the history of Lambrusco, that had an unbelievable commercial success in the 80s. Then it went very down. The image has been destroyed. So what my family tried to do in the last 30 years is exactly to educate the consumers to what is the real Lambrusco.
Perfect. Yeah. And we'll put that in the show notes, the other episode. Let's go away from technology.
Yes.
And let's go to your pet project.
Okay.
The Ancestrale method, which you said was the original method. I had no idea that that was the first sparkling wine. That's going back hundreds of years, right?
Exactly. Let's consider that Medici Ormete, I represent the fifth generation.
Fifth, okay? Yeah. It's a lot of years.
A lot of years, 134.
Wow.
So when my great-great father started his activity, he was a restaurateur first, but he decided to make wine. Also because at the time the wine business was growing a lot, because police didn't make any alcohol test in Italy. So the trend was extremely positive. So he saw that and he started to make wine. Which wine? Lambrusco, because it was our autochthonal variety. And the first method of production that the founder of Medici Ormete decided to use to make Lambrusco was the ancestral method, what we call ancestral or pet nut method. That now is becoming very, very popular in the...
Very trendy.
Very trendy, especially in the more hipster areas.
Yeah, like the hipsters, yeah.
Brooklyn. Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Vancouver, you know.
Sure.
In many wine capitals all over the world, I have to say. But then, as I said before, in the 60s, we started to make wines just using Charmat.
Sure.
Why? Because pet nut was fermented in the bottle. And at the end of the fermentation, we didn't do the degorgement. We didn't remove the yeast. So we were used to leave the yeast inside.
Okay.
But at the time, we didn't have the technology.
Right.
So many bottles could explode. So it wasn't...
Explode?
Yes.
Okay.
So like many bottles of champagne.
Yeah,
in the past.
Sure.
But because, I mean, the winemaking knowledge in 1945, 1950, you know, it wasn't so developed like nowadays.
Right, right.
We didn't have the technology, as we said before.
Sure.
So it wasn't safe. Charmat was much more, was safer and easier also, no? We said before, it was smarter.
Mm-hmm.
So many producers decided to stop making pet nut, ancestral method. So that's why when I just entered in the winery in 2017, actually after my studies at the universities, I wanted to come back to the origin.
Why? If it didn't work before, if it was dangerous, if bottles were exploding, what were you thinking?
So because, for 2 points, because now... It's totally safe because we have the technology.
So now you know. You've learned more.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So now we never seen our bottle exploded, thanks God, in the last
years. Good to know.
And there is no risk. Zero.
Okay.
0%. Because we exactly know how the residual of sugar must be before to do the second fermentation. Now I'm going to explain how Pednat is made. But
great.
So the first point is that now it's completely safe. And the second point is because now there is a huge trend of Pednat.
Yes.
I mean, we are not talking about millions of bottles, but for the brand awareness, it's an extremely positive method because especially some wine lovers are searching these kind of wines. And they are becoming very popular. So we started in 2017 making 3,000 bottles. It was a total bet for us.
Yeah.
Nowadays, with the vintage 2022 that is now on the market and available here in the US, we are doing 19,000 bottles.
Oh, boy.
It's still a small project, but, you know, it's growing year after year, year after year. We want to keep it small as a project, but we have the potential to arrive to around 30,000 bottles. That will not be like a huge line or wine, but very important for the brand awareness and to bring that wine in the right places. You know, good wine bars, good restaurants, to try to explain that Lambrusco can be produced also with this method.
Right.
How is this method made? Quickly. First fermentation in the tank. We do a still wine. And here there are two approaches to the Pednat.
Okay.
The real ancestral was made like this. You do this first fermentation and you arrive to have around 10 grams of liter of sugar. And then with that exact amount of liter of sugar and with the indigenous yeast that were inside of the grape juice, you put the wine inside of the bottle to end the fermentation and to develop the bubbles in the bottle. The bottle is closed with crown cap. And at the end of the fermentation, when the wine becomes totally dry, you just release the wine in the market without doing any degorgement, so leaving the yeast inside of the bottle.
So the sediment is going to be at the bottom of the bottle if it's standing up.
Exactly.
And it's going to be pretty dry because you didn't add
totally
any sugar.
Totally dry. Exactly. Okay. Because we didn't add any sugar and the fermentation arrived to that. This was how the wine was made in the past.
Okay.
And that also nowadays some producers of ancestral are doing. Then there is a second way to make a Pednat, that is the way that we decided to use. So we do a completely dry wine during the first fermentation. So we don't bring the wine to 10 grams of liter, but to 0 grams of liter of sugar during the first fermentation. Then what we do is similar to the Champenoise method. So we add the same must of the same grape with a still higher level of the sugar, and we calculate to add exactly 10 grams of liter of sugar. So we basically add a liqueur de tirage. It's like a pied de cuve.
Okay.
So we help the wine that became totally dry during the first fermentation to do the second fermentation in the bottle with this add natural must that is basically the same must that we used before of the first fermentation.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we use the indigenous yeast, but we use it adding the must before the fermentation. Then the fermentation usually lasts 1 month, 2 months in the bottle. So it's pretty quick because we just have 10 grams of liter of sugar. It's not like the champagne where we entered in the bottle with 24 grams of liter of sugar, as I said before. I know it's a little bit technical, but I'm just
trying okay.
to explain
no, that's what I asked for.
How it works.
Yeah.
And then we do this second fermentation in the bottle. And as the real ancestral method, we close it with the crown cap. And when the fermentation is over, so when the yeast have eaten all the sugars inside of the bottle, we basically release the wine in the market and we sell it like a totally dry and Pednat method.
Amazing.
So the result is to have, especially with the Lambrusco, that is very high in acidity, an extremely refreshing and extremely drinkable and an extremely food-friendly wine.
Yeah. I was just going to say, with acidity like that, you could probably have a steak with it, right?
Absolutely, yes. Or something fried like a tempura.
Fried, yeah.
Or fried chicken.
Fried it's chicken.
Amazing. Or like the cured meats that come from Emilia-Romagna, from my region.
Well, that's the yes. definite, yeah.
I'm hungry course. Right now.
We should get some salami or something. Mortadella.
Yeah. Mortadella. Exactly.
Okay. So, one more thing. So, Pednat, is that considered natural wine?
I mean, it's hard because we don't have a specific...
There's no definition for
definition
natural
of natural
right.
wine. I think it's not the method that make a wine natural, but I think it's the philosophy of the producer.
Right.
We can consider our pet nat called Fermento a sort of natural wine because we try to work in an organic way. The vineyard is a small production, okay? Yeah. The method is can be related to the natural wine movement, so we can consider Fermento as a natural wine. But it's very important to say that also for this wine, we use the technology. How? We keep the temperature very low during all the single phase of the production. This technology helps us, this philosophy helps us to try to avoid any single bad aromas that could be developed making a pet nat method. So I think that our Fermento is an extremely clean pet nat with an extremely beautiful acidity, and you can really taste the variety. That for the Fermento, for our pet nat, is Sorbara, Lambrusco di Sorbara, and in that wine you can really understand what is Sorbara. That I think should be the definition of a natural wine. So to feel, to taste the grape.
Yeah, and it's a light colored wine, but it has a lot of flavor. It's really rich.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's delicious. Okay, that's something I wanted to get out there because a lot of people talk about natural wine, and I've had what some people call natural wine, and the bottles seem to be very inconsistent, but Fermento is consistent. Every bottle's, and that's thanks to the technology that you use.
Yeah, thank you so much for this. I mean, it's very important to say that it's consistent in the same vintage. Usually the bottles are the same from the same vintage.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But you can see a lot of differences between the vintages. This is very important because I love to show our terroir at its best. You know, and every vintage is very different, especially with the climate changes that we have to face right now. You can see a lot of differences between the 22, the 2021, the 2020, the 2019 was completely different. And this is beautiful, in my opinion. Also because those wines, as they are extremely rich in acidity, they can age at the same time. So I recently tasted the first vintage, the 2017, was totally perfect without any sign of oxidation. And you can still see the differences between 2017, for example, and 2022.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Fermento is most enjoyable when it's released, but it can actually sit down for a year or two. It's fine.
For many years. Wow. We just don't see any evolution like we can see on a Nebbiolo or on a Burgundy.
Yeah.
Okay? We don't see evolution in terms of profile. The wine just lose the fruity aroma, but the acidity is still perfect. It's still vibrant. May I say vibrant?
Can you understand this? Vibrant, sure.
And I think this is the characteristic that we search in the Lambrusco. And we can still see the vibrant notes also in the oldest vintage. I mean, we didn't start to make this wine 25 years ago, but in 2017. And I just can tell that the 2017 is still perfectly fresh.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much.
How did your father feel about this project when you first started?
When I first started, he said no way. But not my father. My father is very dynamic. My grandfather, that is pretty conservative, he just told me, why do we have to do a wine like my father was used to make? I mean, we have now, you know, the still tank. It's so easy and it's so good, the wine. And I told him, look, nonno, we say in Italian to say grandpa. Believe me, like now there is a huge trend in the market. We can do a very good wine. Let's start with a small production.
Yeah.
And we have a beautiful relationship, so he trusts me. And we started with a small production. And then, I mean, the sales were very positive. So that's why we increased year after year the production. And nowadays we are making 19,000 bottles.
Right.
And I think it's a wine that became part of our portfolio. And now is available in Michelin star restaurants, in very cool natural wine bars.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a very positive way to show Medicermete and to show all the shades, I think is the right word, of Lambrusco.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, it's nice that you took a piece of history and you're bringing it forward.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, one last thing. Your wines are all organic, are they not?
Yes, they are. This is another thing that I try to bring in the company to do this big project on the sustainability. In 2021, we presented a project called Generation 2031. It's a 10-year long-term project to try to make Medicermete, the whole company, completely sustainable. And one of the parts of the sustainability, just one, because sustainability is huge. We don't have the time to we should do an episode just on sustainability.
Maybe that'll be the next one.
Next year. Organic viticulture is one important part of the sustainability for a winery. So in 2017, when I entered in the winery, we started to do the conversion. Do you say that?
Yes, conversion, sure.
From the, like, legally is the conventional agriculture.
Yeah, right.
Even if I really hate that word, because we were conventional at the time.
Right.
To legally and officially organic agriculture. And in 2020, we became 100% organic. All our 5 estates that we own, that my family owns, are completely organic.
Great. All right. Congratulations on that.
Thank you, Joe.
Changing all kinds of things there.
Not changing a lot. I think I entered respecting the past, but we have to see, you know, we have to be contemporary and we have to see the future.
So maybe the word is advancing.
Yes.
Progressing, advancing.
Exactly.
All
exactly.
Right. Great. Alessandro, this was wonderful. I feel like I got a whole class on sparkling wine in Lambrusco.
I hope it's helpful for all the people that listen to us. And I mean, I'm here when you want.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Thanks so much for listening to my conversation with Alessandro Medici. If you haven't already heard it, go back to episode 23, Italy's Friendliest Wine, in which Alessandro explains all you need to know about Lambrusco. For this episode, there were a lot of technical terms, so in the show notes, there is a link to a glossary of all those terms and their meanings. By the way, one of the wines we talked about today was Fermento, which is Alessandro's pet project. See what I did there? Pet, as in pet net? That's the type of wine it is. It's the wine made in the Ancestrale method, or pet net. If you would like to try that wine, you can buy it at wine365.com/bubbles. Again, that's wine365.com/bubbles. And because you listened all the way to the end of this episode, I have a special gift for you. Put in the discount code BUBBLES24 for 15% off your entire order, whether there's Fermento in your cart or not. Though I strongly suggest you put at least one bottle in there because the wine is truly amazing. Again, go to wine365.com/bubbles and use the code BUBBLES24 for 15% off your entire order. If you're driving or you're on the elliptical, no worries. The link and the code are in the show notes. I'll be back again in about 2 weeks. In the meantime, remember, wine is food. It comes from a place. Enjoy it responsibly.